As we read over our text this morning, one of the things we're going to see is this is not so much theological exposition that Solomon is giving us here with a lot of deep theology in, but what it is doing us is giving us divine revelation about the divine appointer. We live in a world today, in a society where we live by our appointment books, by our schedule books and our planners, our day planners and so forth. That was foreign to me until I came in the ministry, because in the landscape business, we couldn't plan each day because we lived according to the weather. And I know a lot of you farmers know the same thing. So planning your days was pretty much vain or vanity, because we had to get up in the morning and look out and see what we had and go from there. And we'll see as we go through our text today, hopefully we will find the divine appointer here in this text. If you remember back in the 60s, if you were born then and lived then, there was a popular song, "For Everything There's a Season." We remember the title of the song maybe is "Turn, Turn, Turn." It was written by Pete Seeger in the 50s, but released in the 60s. Sung by the group The Byrds. It was featured in the 1994 movie Forrest Gump. And what it did, the words of the song was from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. But what happened when Seeger wrote this song, which in its day in the 60s, the song we heard on the radio, was a plea for world peace. And he added to the last line by saying, "There's a time for war and a time for peace. I swear it's not too late." As we review what Solomon had already declared to this point, we find a depressed man, and it almost depresses us as we read over it. That he finds there's no rewarding conclusion in life. Life is unsatisfying, unexciting, and unrewarding. He thought about it all. He studied it and thought about it all. He searched his heart out for meaning in life, and he found that even though things and pleasures of this world brought pleasure to his heart, it felt good for a while, that nothing was really gained from it all, that life on planet Earth is really vain and just simply vanity. And he turned to materialism and what is wise and foolish. He did a detailed study. He turned back to his heart. He went back and forth searching out the meaning of life. And he came to the conclusion that a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. And he saw that that satisfaction was from the hand of God. Because without God, he says, there is no enjoyment. Who can find enjoyment without Almighty God? Now he turns in the third chapter, as we're all depressed reading over the first couple. Kind of drags us down. But the text now turns a corner in Solomon's writing. As if he now says, life will have its ups and downs. But don't worry. Even though we don't understand it all, and we never will, God is in control and makes everything work out for good in some way or another. If we look over this, I really think that the proper order of the text today really would begin with verse 11 by saying, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. And then goes by saying, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, and so on. There's a time for, there's a time for, there's a time for. First of all, I want to make note, though, that in the first verse, that word season means in Hebrew an appointed occasion. So what he is saying, there's a time for everything and an appointed occasion for every activity that happens under heaven. And who is that he that he writes about in verse 11? That he, in verse 11, is God, the appointer. So you see, by reading verse 11 first, we find out he, the divine appointer, God has made everything beautiful in its time, and there's a time for everything and an appointed occasion for every activity under heaven, is how he's putting this. And what he does here in verses 2 through 8, he speaks of the great balance of life, the ups and downs, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. We've all had that. You've heard me say before that in life, the way things work out, we get the good, but we cannot have the good without the bad. There's always the bad to go along. But it also reverses that in the bad, there's always the good that we need to look for. Because God provides these things. He has appointed them in His time. And if we look, we can find them. Because He's made everything beautiful in its own appointed time. Now, as we read this, we have to understand this is not a poem about activity at the right time. This is not about making hay while the sun shines by saying, well, there's a right time to do this and there's a wrong time to do this, and you did it at the wrong time. That's not what Solomon is saying here. Although there is a proper time for us to act in certain ways, what he's saying here is that there is a time when each will happen. Because God has already divinely appointed the times and the seasons and the occasions. That there is a time when these things will happen. There will be a time when those will be born. There will be a time when things or people die. There will be a time to plan. Because God divinely appointed them. In verse 1 he says, everything occurs when it must. You see, mankind, you and I, are not a free agent to exercise our will at random. Man is not in control, no matter what these books tell you, folks. Man is not in control. You are not in control of your destiny. God knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Your days are planned out for you. God is the divine appointer, and all the occasions are appointed by God before the heavens and the earth were created. We are not the master of our lives. If we were, we would be sovereign. And that's what a lot of these New Age religions and teachings are about. Sovereignty of self. Self-sovereignty. And if we're sovereign, God's not. But that's why he says in verse 9, what does the worker gain from his toil? You see, he's saying that we don't have that will. What do we gain from our toil? We gain nothing. Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 11. He touched on this subject. He says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Some say, if you think of it that way, that's what we call fatalism. Things are already determined, so why even get out of bed in the morning? That's called fatalism. Why even get out of bed in the morning if they're already determined? Well, theologically, that's called predestination, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. That's another sermon for another day. So we ask that question, why even get out of bed if God has already appointed things? You know, God's already 10 years down the road. He already knows what's going to happen. He's already determined. So why even get out of bed? Two reasons. First of all, life is a gift and living out our days is a privilege. Our purpose that God created us for on earth is to glorify God. And He's given us life as a gift to enjoy life. And remember, He said a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. And this too is from the hand of God. It's a gift that we live out our lives and find satisfaction in our work. Because without Him, who can find enjoyment? Remember, he also said, we didn't read today, but in verse 12, I know there's nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil, because this is the gift of God. Finding satisfaction in being happy and doing good while we live. It's a gift of God. To be able to get out of bed in the morning and glorify God. Secondly, it's a privilege. It's a privilege that you and I are God's created vessels for glory. He took us like the potter on the wheel, and He molded us and made us and created us to be vessels and filled us with the Holy Spirit that we might be vessels, earthen vessels with a treasure inside to be poured out on the thirsty and hungry world. It's a gift and a privilege to get out of bed and live this life on this earth that Almighty God has given us, living it to His glory. Remember, He said, I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces, and I acquired much. I denied myself nothing, and I refused my heart no pleasure, and my heart took delight in all my work. But He said this too was meaningless. Today He says there's a time to be born. There's a time when things will be born, when people will be born, when new ideas will be born, when new churches will be born. And there's also a time to die, when things are no longer effective, when people are old, maybe they're sick. There is a proper time when all these things happen, being born and dying. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot, to plant those ideas, to root them. There's also a time to tear them up, that they might be moved. Remember Abram. Abram was planted in his own land and his own people. But there was a time that God uprooted him and said, I want you to go to this place where I'm going to show you this wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. Solomon says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. And that's a tough one. Do we really have the right to kill? But we have to think here that there is a proper time when some will be killed, things will be killed, ideas will be killed. Relationships will be killed, but there's also a time when there will be a great healing. Relationships, healing of lives. I'm starting to get and understand here what Solomon was talking about. There are times when these things will happen through life. There will be times when there will be tearing down, building up. Times of weeping, times of laughing, times of mourning, times of dancing. Times to scatter stones and times to gather them. Times to embrace, times to refrain, times to search, times to give up. I don't know about you folks, but I feel a lot of times it's now's the time, the right time. I get in those moods and I think I just want to give up. But no, we go on. It says there's a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend. And there's also times when there will be silence and times when there will be much speaking. Times to love, times to hate, and times for war and times for peace. We've seen all these cycles in life. We've seen these all happen throughout our lives, these different cycles. And I hope that you can relate to just one of these in your life. Maybe you're in a time right now in your life where you're dying spiritually. Maybe you're at a time in your life where you're starting to heal from something. Maybe you're at a time in your life where you're just weeping every day because you're so sorrowful over something that's happened in life. Or maybe you're dancing right now with joy because of some great miracle that's happened in your life. Maybe you feel like giving up. Or maybe you feel like I just need to keep searching. Maybe you just say to yourself, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut from now on, because it only gets me in trouble. But then maybe you're saying to yourself, no, I need to speak up because this needs to be heard. Maybe you're feeling like, I really love this person or that person. Or maybe you're feeling like, I really hate that person right now. Maybe you're battling your own personal war, struggling spiritually, struggling with a spouse, struggling with your kids, struggling at your job. Or maybe you're enjoying a season of peace, an occasion of peace in your life, where things are going real well right now. Solomon says these are all cycles of life, the good and the bad. He These are the great contrasts that we live in. But he says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, in its own proper time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. I find peace knowing that when I'm in a bad season, a season of war, a season of searching, a season of mourning, or a season of tearing, I find peace knowing that there is a sovereign appointer, Almighty God, at work to will and to work for His good and pleasure. That even though I can't fathom or find out what He's doing, I know He's behind the scenes fighting the battle for me. I know He's there because His Word says He's there. I know that He's already appointed my days out before me. And though I have to toil and struggle through them, it's been that way since creation, since Adam and Eve were kicked out of Eden, and I know I'm going to have to toil through the days, I know God is greater and works will and work for His good pleasure in my life. And some days we can't wait till the sun goes down. We can't wait to get the day over with, to go to bed, because the day has been a great burden and we just can't fight anymore. We're so tired. You ever feel like you just can't take any more in life? Like life is meaningless? That's what Solomon felt. I just can't take anymore. It's so meaningless. I've searched it all out. But he says the great appointer has appointed all of the divine occasions, the appointed occasions. He's appointed them all and planned things out. Solomon felt exactly like you and I feel. And he says to us that God has a design for life. He's given the order of events for our lives. He has made those events beautiful in their own times. You know what the Hebrew word for beautiful is? It's bright. And I thought that was amazing when I read that, because He's made all things, everything bright in its time. Even in the darkest days, in the times of war, in the times of mourning, in times of searching and tearing, there is light. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Why does God allow us to go through those things? So that we will become stronger and draw closer to Him. Do we like it? Do we enjoy it? Absolutely not. But it's God's plan. He's already appointed it. What can we do about it? What can we say about it? Thank you, God, that you've already appointed the days for my life and that you are working and willing for good in my life. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Psalm 30 says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that joy comes from a sovereign appointer. A sovereign appointer and creator. And without Him, who can find enjoyment? There's light in every dark place. God has given us light. He's given us enjoyment. He's given us peace. He's given us beauty all around us. All we have to do is look. He's there. And when we're walking through those seasons of life that seem so dark, remember, God's appointed them too. They're part of His plan. They're there for our good and our benefit, that He might will and work according to His own good pleasure, and that we might grow stronger in Him, trusting in Him, knowing that He's appointed those times for our benefit and for His glory. Let's pray.